Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1970, with a release date of Friday, July 31st, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC gets tough to the tune of $22,000. British amateurs test for their American licenses. In Arizona, hams join Pima County's emergency response team. One satellite scores big on field day. And a British special event station prevails despite poor propagation. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1970, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, from Topeka, Kansas, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH. And from New Orleans, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin with a news roundup from the FCC. In amateur radio, interference has a price. And in the case of repeat offender Michael Guernsey of Michigan, it's a hefty one. The FCC has hit Guernsey, license KZ80, formerly ND8V, with a $22,000 fine for intentionally causing interference with amateur communications and for his failure to identify on the air. Guernsey, who has a publicly documented history of offenses and violations dating back for more than 10 years, had first been given an FCC warning a year ago that he faced a fine of this magnitude. In July 2014, the agency issued a notice of apparent liability proposing the fine in light of Guernsey's long and contentious history, which at one point also included a 9-month license suspension. At the time of the notice, Guernsey denied he had created the interference, suggesting that another nearby radio amateur was the source. The FCC, however, said it had positively ruled that possibility out after monitoring his station. Last week's forfeiture order recapped Guernsey's violations, citing, quote, the deliberate playing of music on top of the transmissions of other amateur operators, end quote, adding that he employed, quote, various animal noises to prevent the communications of other stations with whom he had a long-standing and well-documented dispute, end quote. Guernsey has 30 days to pay up or arrange for an installment plan. Another ham, this time in Georgia, has also landed in a tangle with the FCC on charges he repeatedly failed to identify himself and to acknowledge earlier FCC warnings. The FCC said that despite having documented charges against David Talasi, W4BHV, by monitoring and recording his operations, the amateur has denied that he failed to identify himself on the air. The agency said Talasi had shown deliberate disregard for earlier warnings. The FCC has proposed fining Talasi $1,000. These latest agency actions were made public a week after the FCC announced it would be closing 11 of its 24 Enforcement Bureau field offices for reasons of efficiency and economy.
The regulatory fee to apply for a vanity call sign becomes history September 3rd. The FCC had announced last May it planned to retire the fee to reduce related administrative costs, but didn't say at the time when the fee would disappear. The agency now says that beginning September 3rd, amateurs filing a vanity application will no longer have to pay. The FCC said the revenue it would otherwise collect from this and other regulatory fees will be proportionally assessed on other wireless fee categories. The agency has a congressional mandate to collect an estimated $340 million in fees from all services in fiscal year 2015. The vanity call sign's present fee of $21.40 had been increased by the FCC from $16.10 in 2014, making it the largest hike in years.
For hams, this may be the closest they'll get to having dual citizenship. British amateurs are getting the opportunity next month to take the American license exam being offered at Lyne Village Hall in Surrey, England. ARRL volunteer examiners will offer the test on August 27th, charging the customary fee of $15, which comes out to be approximately £1 sterling in the UK. Advocates in Britain are encouraging amateurs to go for it, since an American license would enable them to get on the air in the United States should they find themselves visiting and with access to radio equipment. The exam is being made possible through a reciprocal license offer between the U.S. and Britain's Office of Communications. Registration deadline is August 13th. Applicants are being directed to Gene Reynolds, M0ZRG, N2ZTX.
In Pima County, Arizona, first responders have adopted a reliable backup for when their emergency communications network fails. Not surprisingly, it's ham radio.
This week, I spoke with Mike Boger, K7BUM, the assistant manager for the home stations for the Pima County Office of Emergency Management Communications Group.
Pima County and Pima County Office of Emergency Management and the Arizona Department of Emergency Management have traditionally had a very close relationship with the amateur operators, RACES, ARIES, those kind of things. The amateurs take care of the local events. El Tour de Tucson is one of our biggest events. I think it's even televised nationally across the United States as one of the largest bike races around the city, 109 miles around the entire city of Tucson. And we provide communications for that event.
Now, for Pima County, what kind of gearing up in terms of the hardware and the staffing are you likely to need?
We'd like to get more involvement, more people putting up the 20, 30 feet foot masts, those kind of things. Our greatest challenges so far have been terrain. Unlike our compatriots over in the Midwest, we have these little things called mountains that we have to deal with. You know, when you have a 9,000-foot mountain that you can put a repeater on top of for a mesh node, it makes a pretty good line of sight. But you also have to have three or four nodes to get around that mountain. Tucson is a very, very spread out city. It's roughly a million people. And
what does Pima County's embrace of this plan, their openness to making it a part of the overall MCOM infrastructure, what does that say about the future of where ham radio is going, do you think?
I think it puts a very, very bright picture on mesh and amateur radio when it comes to emergency communication. As far as us being a template or something along those lines, I think it's a very open community. Our lessons learned can be of value to other communities across Arizona and the United States.
Our thanks again to Mike Boger, K7BUM, Assistant Manager for the Home Stations for the Pima County Office of Emergency Management Communications Group in Pima County, Arizona.
The opportunity for more international QSOs via Echolink just grew by one more gateway, thanks to the Avondu Radio Club in Ireland. Club members have announced that their new node, based in Watergrass Hill, County Cork, has become operational under the call sign EI7WHG. Hams looking for access to the repeater should key in Echolink node number 395897. Locally, the repeater is at 430.075 MHz with a 67 Hz tone.
Three amateur radio projects have been announced as the newest recipients of supporting grants from the YASME Foundation, the California-based not-for-profit which assists such projects in developing countries. They are the Organizing Committee of the 2018 World Radio Team Championship for fees associated with special call sign stations, the Reverse Beacon Network to enable equipment to be bought to establish a node in Ethiopia at club location ET3AA, and in Liberia, a representative of the Voodoo Contest Group for materials to train future licensees. YASME, named for the boat of pioneering de-expeditioner Danny Weil, a silent key, works to advance development of amateur radio around the world. For more information about the foundation, visit www.yasme.org. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world. We are being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur.
More than a month after Field Day, the excitement continues over that big event's results, only this time the scores have nothing to do with points and multipliers. The success in this case belongs to the Canadian-built Cassiope satellite and the international group of researchers working with it. A radio receiver instrument on board the satellite was able to pick up, decode, and listen in on numerous Field Day stations, transmitting CW on 80 and 40 meters, according to researchers. The radio receiver instrument, known as the Enhanced Polar Outflow Probe, or EPOP, measured the outflow of plasma from the ionosphere into near-Earth geospace. Most of the 23 stations the onboard instrument picked up and decoded were in Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana, with most of them on 40 meters. Nathaniel Frissell, W2NAF, a graduate researcher from Virginia Tech, said the experiment opens the door to design more tests of this kind.
Six Colorado students working in cooperation with their school's amateur radio program can honestly say they had a blast, or rather, a blast off, earlier this month. The youngsters created an automatic packet reporting system beacon that was sent into space on July 18th aboard a 25-foot United Launch Alliance rocket in Pueblo, Colorado. The students from the STEM school and academy in Highlands Ranch designed and built the payload with the help of academy instructor Jeff Dunker and the students' mentors at Ball Aerospace Space and United Launch Alliance. Transmissions from the 2-meter, 2-pound payload allow those on the receiving end to determine speed, elevation, and GPS data while the rocket flies at 10,000 feet. The APRS uses the school's AB0BX repeater on the national APRS frequency. Byron Paul Veal of the Rocky Mountain Division of the ARRL says, quote, "It's like fox hunting with radios. We find triangulations that are emitted by a frequency when it launches," end quote. Students will also be able to locate the ultimate landing spot by receiving longitude and latitude via GPS. While in flight, however, the rocket and that special payload will provide high adventure in every sense of the word.
In amateur radio, as in war, poor conditions don't bring the action to a grinding halt. And so it was with special event station ON-1418 WOD, which faced off against uncooperative propagation Sunday, July 19th, as its crew in Great Britain proceeded with their planned commemoration of those who died in World War I. The portable station kept its spirits and its signal up and contacted what it called a large number of stations against the odds. Their next battle strategy? To prepare for next year's event and hope the bands do the same.
HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, is going to college. The Ionospheric Research Facility is set to move from the hands of the U.S. Air Force to join the University of Alaska Fairbanks on August 11th. The Gakona, Alaska facility was spared from shutdown and demolition last year by the military's agreement to delay that plan. And now it is about to become part of the university's Geophysical Institute under an agreement between the school and the Air Force. The news is especially heartening to the ARRL, whose CEO, David Sumner, K1ZZ, had praised HARP's research for its value to amateur radio operators in a letter earlier this year to Chuck Hagel, then Secretary of Defense. Sumner wrote, quote, "Most of our 164,000 members employ ionospheric propagation of HF radio signals for their communications and technical investigations. Ionospheric research," he continued, "therefore has great significance and importance to us," end quote. University researcher Chris Fallon, KL3WX, was among those from the amateur community advocating for the facility. He has told ARRL that HARP, which has 180 radio antennas, has unique relevance to hams. He says, however, that the facility has been relatively idle since June of last year, and it wasn't likely research would resume there until next spring.
Checking DX, during the upcoming International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend, August 14th through 16th, look for members of the Radio Club Uruguayo, operating a special event call sign CW1R from Punta del Este Lighthouse. They'll be on 80 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes, with at least two stations on the air. QSLs are via the Bureau or direct to Radio Club Uruguayo, P.O. Box 37, 11000 Montevideo, Uruguay, South America. And of course, self-addressed stamped envelope and one new IRC or a couple of green stamps would be appreciated. The Nikola Tesla birthday celebrations aren't through yet. Members of the Radio Club Nikola Tesla, E74BYZ, are continuing their activity honoring the radio pioneer through August 10th from Banja Luka. QSL direct via E77E or the E7 QSL Bureau, also via EQSL. The anniversary of Tesla's birthday was July 10th. Kenji, JA4GXS, will once again be active as JA4GXS-4 from Kasato Island and the Yamaguchi Prefecture between August 22nd and 23rd. Activity will be on 40, 20, 17, 15, and 6 meters using CW and SSB. QSL via JA4GXS direct or via the Bureau. Henning, OZ1BII, will again be active as ZF2EE from Georgetown Cayman Islands, that's IOTA NA016, between August 7th to the 9th. Find Henning on 160 through 10 meters, mainly using CW, on an Elecraft K3 with 100 watts into a Cushcraft R6 vertical and a 110-foot long wire. It'll be a busy time for Henning, who also plans to be in the Workdal European DXCW contest as a single-op, all-band, low-power entry from the ZF1A club station. He plans to work non-EU stations before and after the contest. QSL via OZ1BII by the Bureau or Logbook of the World. For more details and updates, you can visit OZ1BII.DK. Renee, DL2JRM, will be active as OY-DL2JRM from the Faroe Islands, that's EU018, between August 7th and 10th. He'll be on 80 through 10 meters using mostly CW, QSL via DL2JRM by the Bureau or direct.
And finally, we consider Missouri's Signal Hill. The appropriately named Signal Hill in that state's city of Pacific has gone from being a Cold War cornerstone to emerging as a digital radio frontier. The site will be home to a new 56-foot tower and 23-foot antenna being installed by the Pacific Meramec Valley Amateur Radio Club for its new D-Star repeater. Pacific City Administrator Harold Selby, who pushed for installation of the digital repeater, is licensed ham KA0WXX and vice president of the club. The amateur club was created only a year ago with help from the city as part of Pacific's emergency management strategy, which calls for area hams to take an active role in disaster communications. The 873-foot-high Signal Hill, the highest point in that region of Missouri, has achieved an even higher profile now with its new public service role. During the Cold War, the hill had been home to Nike signals when those missiles were stored at the nearby Hercules base. Now Signal Hill will become a base in its own right, this time for peaceful communications that could help save lives and ensure public safety.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the Alaska Dispatch News, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, DX World, Hap Holly, and the Rain Report, the Missourian Newspaper, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, the Pacific Meramec Amateur Radio Club, Pima County, Arizona, Russ Roberts, KH6JRM, the Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, QRZ Now, and UR listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address for news tips and comments is arnewslinetips@gmail.com. And our original email address, newsline@arnewsline.org, is back up as well. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.